A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 462. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Dracula. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, this is a co-production of Dracula from Granada TV, the BBC, and in America, WGBH Boston for PBS. This is a 90-minute television film version of Bram Stoker's novel. It is our third encounter with the Deadly Count here on British Invaders. And for this version, we have a cast stuffed with young, glamorous, and quite sexy stars in a sexed-up version of Dracula.
Yes, it is a different take on things, and we will get to some of that. Last time, we discussed some of the classic elements of the Dracula story, including the arrival of the ship, the Demeter, at Whitby, and the Count's seduction of Lucy. Soon, she is so ill that not even a blood transfusion from Dr. Seward can save her. And Seward's investigations with Mina Murray lead them to Dracula's house in London and the discovery of Abraham Van Helsing trapped in the cellar there.
So this leads our vampire hunters to confront Arthur Holmwood and to realize that they must defeat the evil Count before he has a chance to spread his what's described as plague all over England and the Empire. I think the Empire specifically mentioned in the script.
Yes, that is interesting.
Now, of course, as we've hinted as we've gone along, this is a different take on the Dracula story. All screen versions, I guess, all adaptations of Dracula bring something new to the story. I guess people like to try and change things up and make it more relevant to the time that they're writing and producing. Here we've got the focus shifted very heavily to Lord Holmwood and his desperate hunt for a cure for his congenital syphilis before he goes ahead and consummates his marriage to Lucy.
That is a strange way to center this story, and I think it's fair to say that this adaptation is centered on that element.
Yes, it is strange. A strange way of looking at Dracula. I noted that syphilis is not mentioned in the novel of Dracula at all, although it is often referenced in works or writing about the book because of moral panics at the time that may have influenced Bram Stoker's writing.
Yes, and the cause of death that was recorded for Bram Stoker himself on his death certificate may have been a euphemism for syphilis as well.
Yes, I mean, I'll note that this is, in medical circles, Brian, this is an extremely common diversion for some medical writers to speculate about what diseases famous figures from history may or may not have had and what evidence there is for that disease and what effect it may have had on their writings or behaviours or so on. It's a fairly common medical parlour game, I'm afraid, Brian.
Yes, and it maybe gets into some strange things at times, but possibly some interesting ones as well. In this adaptation, Jonathan Harker is relegated to be a secondary character. He's much less central and is sort of used as a sacrificial pawn by Holmwood and this occult society, the Brotherhood, which is also a big change, having this this brotherhood involved in the story so much.
Yeah, that's another weird and new addition to the story, as far as I can tell.
Yes, I don't know where the brotherhood came from. We also have Abraham Van Helsing as an expert on the folklore of vampires, who is recruited by this brotherhood as part of their plan to bring Dracula to England. So we have a much more sort of conspiracy-driven type of story here than we've had before. And then, of course, once he's out of that cellar and being a part of things, Van Helsing lights up the screen and becomes more central to what we're seeing in that part of the story, because it's David Suchet, and you can't help but watch him and pay attention to his performance.
Yes, David Suchet as Abraham Van Helsing, and I was sort of sold immediately. But I've watched this film twice now for this recording, Brian, and I must confess, the first time I watched it, I was thinking, why is Van Helsing locked up in Dracula's cellar? What's going on there? It took me a while to figure out the complexities of how he arrives there.
Yes, and we also, because of how it's put together, we don't get all that much of Van Helsing in this, even though it's sort of a selling point that David Suchet is there. We don't see all that much of him.
Strange, but there we go. Now, we talk about changes in different versions of Dracula, and we often talk about how late Victorian fiction that's inspired many of the shows we've covered, that the late Victorian fiction often reflected moral panics of the time about maybe invasion, in this specific case of Dracula, infection. And I always think it's interesting to wonder what were the sort of contemporary fears that crop up in adaptations of these works when we come across them. I think we talked about this a little bit when we did the recent BBC War of the Worlds, and how it became a story particularly about refugees, I think, Brian.
Yes, that's right.
But here in 2006, Stuart Harcourt's version, very interesting, the subject of sexually transmitted diseases, which I don't remember being a particular sort of societal moral concern, particularly in 2006.
Yeah, it seems like something that should have been from a decade earlier, or even a bit more.
Yes.
I do sort of wonder if maybe he had been working on that idea for some time. I don't know if that's the case, but I do wonder about that. It also downplays Bram Stoker's concerns that are built in there about immigration and invasion, and brings a much more sort of occult, secret society, conspiracy kind of angle to it, which is different.
It sort of brings in the satanic panic as well. That is the satanic panic, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. There is some of that there. And again, that being something from many years earlier that I usually think of from the 1980s. So maybe Harcourt was looking back at some of the things over the previous decades. I don't know. It does make you wonder if someone were doing an adaptation in the style of Stuart Harcourt's, of bringing in lots of new elements, what concerns and issues it might reflect in a new 2024 production.
Yeah, it's I would be, fascinated to see another version now and to think about what they would bring in. Of course, we do know that we're only sort of, I guess, about 4 years out from the Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat version from 2020, which we hope to cover at some point in the future. So we'll perhaps not say too much about it now, but we are aware of that one, Brian.
Yes, but that one was produced before the COVID-19 pandemic.
True, interesting, yes.
So I think everything was changed after that. So I think a newer version would be if nothing else, from a different perspective being written now.
Yeah. It's strange that they've chosen sexually transmitted diseases and satanic panic as the sort of concerns in this production. Because as you say, Brian, they would seem more appropriate for the sort of 1980s or maybe the 2020s.
Yeah.
But not for the 2006 era. But there you go. That's just what occurred to us as we were looking at this show.
Yes. So I think that brings us to where we should talk a little bit more about some of our own thoughts. Obviously, we've been getting into them already. But Eamon, what did you like about this production of Dracula?
Well, I always seem to start with this one, particularly when we're doing BBC shows, Brian, but the production design is great. You know, it's the BBC. BBC Wales at the time was, you know, coming up into its pomp. Great locations, great sets, fabulous costumes and makeup. They took the production to Whitby, which feels nice and appropriate. So yeah, I enjoyed the look and the sort of feel of the production. What about yourself?
It is very stylish and it looks beautiful. So yeah, those things work well. In terms of big positives for this, David Suchet. I really enjoyed watching his performance. And when we finally get him being more important in this, which is quite late in the story, and I feel like they probably gave him a little less time than maybe they could have, but it lifted the whole production and I was enjoying it much more once he was there.
I knew you'd enjoy David Suchet in this production. I did think, if you've got David Suchet playing Abraham Van Helsing, why do you keep him locked in a cellar? Get him out of there.
Yes.
But yeah, fortunately, once they do get him out, he, as we say, lights up our screens. What about the rest of the cast, Brian?
I thought the cast was fine. We mentioned Donald Sumpter. It was lovely seeing him there. He was particularly good as well. Otherwise, I think it was solid. The scenes with Sophia Miles as Lucy and Stephanie Leonidas as Mina, I thought those were particularly good. I enjoyed those scenes and I enjoyed their performances. They were some of the ones that jumped out at me.
Yes, they're great together. And I guess, you know, again, I think if they did it now, they might even expand their roles even further. Sophia Miles was already well established at this point, but Warren, I think Stevens, Spall, Tom Burke have all gone on to do, they've all gone on to be big stars in various other productions after this one. This is quite early for all of them.
Yeah, David Suchet was certainly established and a big deal by then.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was David Suchet. I think they're all pretty good. I mean, I didn't have any particular problems with anybody in the cast. As you say, lovely to see Donald Sumpter on our screens as well. Always reliable. And they are certainly the youngsters in this production are certainly young and glamorous and sexy looking.
Yeah, I don't think any of the performances let it down. There were some that were standouts and others that weren't, but I don't think anyone let it down. Mark Warren as Dracula. It's a different take on Dracula, but for what they were doing, he was very good. I think he was, you know, with the sort of younger, sexier style, he was still able to be ominous and scary, so that was good.
Did you, were you convinced by the old age makeup that he wore in his first appearances?
I thought it was okay. It didn't distract from it or anything like that.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good as well, actually. Doesn't last very long because soon he's feasting on Jonathan Harker and then turning into the young Lord Byron version of Dracula, apparently.
Yeah, and the direction was good. I think it didn't focus too much on that old age makeup and what have you. In general, the direction was good in this. It helped make it that sort of slick, stylish kind of look.
Some of the reviewers commented that Mark Warren appeared too young and boyish for the role of Dracula, even though I think he was in his 30s at the time. What did you make of that? Would you agree with them?
I don't know if he was boyish, but it was definitely a different take on Dracula from what we're used to. It was not the dignified older count of the book in the 1970s show. It wasn't the more monstrous one either. It was something else. And I think that was built into the concept of the whole show rather than Mark Warren's appearance and performance.
Right. Now, the other thing that I had in our list of questions was that, and you quite rightly pointed out, Brian, that introducing sex into a vampire story is nothing new. It goes back at least as far as Bela Lugosi and probably earlier. But what did you think about the emphasis on the sex in this BBC version from 2006?
Yeah. So I'm going to be getting more into the negatives here. I was not a big fan of it. Like, I understand it was their concept and they did it well. They accomplished what they were doing. But I don't think it made it more interesting. And I think they ended up veering off into different directions and sort of squeezing in just enough plot elements that they could get away with calling the story Dracula.
Right.
You know, it doesn't feel like an adaptation to me. And this is more about the elements of the character searching for a cure for syphilis and this sort of occult conspiracy, the Brotherhood. They were centering those things that made it feel like a new story to me rather than an adaptation of Dracula.
Right. So we're drifting into the sort of cons, the negatives about this show. And is that is, of course, discussion of the writing of the show, the adaptation, which I think we pretty much covered already, but it certainly caused you a few problems, I think, Brian.
Yes, but I was disappointed with the writing and how they centered those things in it. I think it would have been more interesting if they had given it a different title and not tried to make it an adaptation of Dracula, but a different story with Dracula in it, the Hunt for Dracula or whatever they would name it. That might have been more interesting because this felt like it was something else.
Right.
And the level of sexualization in it, I personally didn't care for. I didn't think it added a lot to it, especially when you're classifying it as an adaptation of the original novel.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have too much of a problem with the sexiness of it, but opening and starting with it all being about syphilis and all being about, particularly about Arthur Holmwood and not about Jonathan Harker's voyage to Transylvania, that seemed strange to me. And I was confused to begin with. Slightly less confused on the second viewing, but still quite confused about it all.
Yeah, it did feel to me like they were, in both in writing and production, that they were interested in doing something else that was not an adaptation of Dracula. It was a different story. It was about something else, but they were, I guess, commissioned to do a Dracula adaptation. So they sort of squeezed those elements in too.
Now, this film version was 90 minutes, and unusually for me, I thought that was too short for Dracula. What did you think of the runtime?
I would agree. I thought it was too short, especially when they're squeezing in these different elements to it. The 1970s Count Dracula with Louis Jourdan was over 2.5 hours, and it did a pretty good job of representing that original story in there. And, you know, I think that was an approach that worked well. And here, with adding new elements in, it did feel rushed for sure.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought there was too much crammed in and not enough time to explore some of these ideas. If it had had a longer runtime, maybe it would have made more sense to me. But it all did seem a little bit rushed, particularly towards the end when we get to the actual hunt for Dracula and the final confrontation. Yeah, I noticed the Mystery and the Imagination obviously did it in 80 minutes, but as you say, 2.5 hours in the 70s, and the 2020 version took 3 hours, I think. So we'll see.
The Mystery and Imagination version was not adding in other elements, and it was trimming it down a bit, and it felt like it was trimmed down a bit, but it focused on things that were very core to that original novel. So that makes a big difference.
Right.
Where this felt a little bit like they had a wish list of things that they wanted to have in here, like those conversations between Mina and Lucy and the things about the Brotherhood and the syphilis stuff. It seemed like those were the things they wanted to do, and maybe a certain amount of the Van Helsing stuff they wanted to do, and everything else sort of got crammed in.
Yeah, it all did feel a bit squished, didn't it? Now, Brian, I think I know what the answer is going to be, but we have now seen three different interpretations of Dracula on British Invaders. What's your favorite and what's your least favorite?
My favorite is definitely Count Dracula from the 1970s. That was a really nice production. It told the story well and also had interesting production elements and good performances and so on. So I really enjoyed that one. Mystery and Imagination in the 60s had sort of a different take on things just because of the format of how they were doing things, but it had a nice focus to it, and I liked Denham Elliott in the role, so that was pretty good too. The version we're looking at now from 2006 is my least favorite of those three.
I think I probably agree, although I might have to look at the Mystery and Imagination one again to remind myself. Certainly the Louis Jourdan 1977 version from the BBC is fantastic, and that's probably the one to go for. I'm also going to say, I might just add in, I think I preferred Mark Warren as the sinister gentleman in Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell that we've just watched.
Yes. He was certainly very good in that, and he had a little more to work with in some respects, even though he was less central to it. He had a lot of good scenes to work with and so on, where in this, I guess he was meant to be a bit monstrous, so he didn't have that much dialogue. He certainly had dialogue, but yeah, I did feel that this 2006 version of Dracula felt like a bit of a mess in some ways. You know, they were trying to adapt the original at the same time as they were trying to do something very different story-wise with these new elements. And they were trying to bring this sexier feel to it. And they didn't have that much runtime for it. They had, what was it, about an hour and a half or something?
Yeah, exactly. 90 minutes.
Yeah. So this was one of the cases where they were trying to do too much with what they had to work with, and some of the things they were trying to do I didn't care for, but it added to the problems and the mess of it that they were trying to put all of it into a 90-minute runtime.
Okay, well, I think we know where we're going, but we're heading towards recommendations, Brian.
Okay, so I will start with recommendations and say, no, I will not recommend this. It was lovely to see David Suchet's performance. And there were some elements in here and some performances that were not bad, but it just turned into too much of a mess. So no, I will not recommend this. I will recommend Count Dracula from the BBC from the 1970s.
Yes, that's a good recommendation, actually. If you've not seen the 1970s version, do go and check it out and then come back and let us know what you thought. I'm going to join you, Brian. I'm going to say that at the moment, I can't recommend this production of Dracula. I thought it was interesting. And if it was available streaming as part of a package that you'd already paid for, I would say give it a watch. But at over £20 for a DVD, I don't think that's great value for money at the moment. So my recommendation is go back to Louis Jourdan's version, or maybe the 2020 version. And for this one, perhaps wait till it turns up on streaming somewhere.
Okay.
But as ever, if you feel that we've got it wrong on the 2006 Mark Warren and David Suchet version of Dracula, then please do come by the socials and let us know.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear your thoughts about, you know, maybe why you love this one and why it worked well for you. So, in summary, this 2006 production of Dracula introduced us to Lord Arthur Holmwood and his discovery that he has congenital syphilis while he is already engaged to be married to Lucy Westerna. And we follow his quest to find a cure for this disease for himself, and his encounters with the Brotherhood occult conspiracy and seeking Dracula and bringing him to England in order to effect this cure. And we get into some of the original Dracula elements with Dracula arriving in England by ship and the encounters with Lucy and so on. And we do get the introduction of Abraham Van Helsing, and we will move towards a conclusion that involves him.
Fascinating stuff. Do let us know what you think. And please come back and join us next time as we are making a yearly visit. We do try once a year to go to the fabulous worlds of Gerry Anderson. And this time it is finally time for us to report in 1995 to the Space Precinct. We'll be talking about Space Precinct in our next two episodes, Brian.
Yes, and this will be something a little different than the world of Gerry Anderson for sure. It's definitely an unusual one, so that'll be fun.
Quite a show.
Until then, you can find all of our episodes, well over 400 of them, at BritishInvaders.com. And you can find us on social media. You can search for us on Facebook, and you can find us on both Threads and Instagram as British_Invaders_podcast.
Yes, please come and join us on the socials, and please join us at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Check out all the geek related content there, podcasts, streaming, gaming content, and much more at VogNetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England signing off and reaching for the old joke by saying, show him your cross.